You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Okay, this is Scott McKay, and you're listening to the 16th episode, the sweet 16th episode of the Chick Whisperer podcast, known far and wide all over the podcasting community as the world authority on how to get great quality women. With me today is yet another special guest, one that I'm sure every one of you has heard of at some point or another, Mr. Zan Perrion. How's it going, man?
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, you have been very closely associated with being a natural gamer, a guy who is teaching guys how to, you know, just basically go back to being a man, and men are the ones who get the great women. And I'm looking forward to the conversation we're going to have today, because it's going to be all about how to understand women. And I think all of that is tied into what we're talking about. But you know what, first, Dan, we've got a voicemail that we need to get to. You ready?
Sure.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, Mr. McKay. This is Robert Thompson, student over here at Angelo State University. Another kid from SA Town. But I have a serious question for you. I hear you on Chick Whisper talking a lot about societal control and all that. I was wondering what you think of guys that wear pink. Because the excuse is, oh, I'm tough enough to wear pink. But back in your day, for example, I don't think anybody wore pink. Or the ones that did, like, got beat up by the guys who was actually tough. So, I don't know. I'd just really like to hear your opinion on the subject. And, I don't know. Love your podcast. Keep up the good work. Bye.
All right, man. Don't say we don't ever get some interesting and unique questions around here, huh? What would you tell this guy, Zan?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. You know, you can pull off just about anything as long as you do it with charm and grace and you're not afraid to make fun of yourself.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, you see some pretty you'll see Pierce Brosnan wearing a pink shirt, for instance. And yes. And can he pull it off? Of course he can. Because it isn't what he's wearing so much as is his whole style and his whole attitude, and he's not self-conscious about it.
Yeah, I think David D'Angelo even had that as a fixed example in one of his programs, didn't he?
I'm not sure about that, but you could be right.
Yeah, there's this picture floating around of Pierce Brosnan in a pink shirt. Well, I'll tell you what. He said something about guys getting beat up back in my day for wearing pink. I'll tell you what, my man. In the early 80s when the preppy thing was going, I mean, there were guys running around the school I went to wearing these madras pants with, you know, pink shirts and, you know, alligators and the whole shooting match. Never was really my thing. but, I mean,
people, I remember it was all neon pink, right?
Oh, yeah, right. By the mid-80s, you know, all the kids had, like, neon pink BMX bikes with the white wheels, you know, and then, like, lavender. I don't know, man. I don't know what got into some people back then. But, yeah, there was definitely a time and a place where pink was actually sort of popular with guys. Remember the unconstructed Miami Vice blazer look?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I distinctly remember pink ones of those back when I was in college.
Well, exactly.
Bad, bad deal. Pink is really just pastel red, right? my deal is, unless I'm driving a 59 Cadillac, I'm not doing a whole lot of pink. Now, you roll up in a pink Cadillac, it's 59, you know, that's sweet, okay? But honestly and truthfully, I'll be forthright. I don't have a whole lot in my wardrobe that's pink just because I don't see it as completely necessary. So if it's not necessary to wear it, why even bother? I mean, I look much better in other colors anyway, and that's just my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It's funny because I have a I just was thinking of this just now as the question came up. My MySpace page has a picture of me in a pink shirt and a black blazer sitting in New York at a restaurant. So I've worn pink.
Well, pink and black, though. That's kind of cool. That's sort of massive.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Just depends on who you are and whether you think you can pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
I think you got to get some input from people. I think you've got to maybe field test it if you really feel particularly compelled to wear pink. There's also the very real factor here that not all garments are created equal. I mean, if you've got a suit on and you're wearing a pink Oxford underneath, like, you know, a blue suit and a matching tie that kind of sets it off, I don't think anybody's even going to see you as wearing pink. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when you're pinking it, I mean, you're actually going after the, hey, look at me, I'm wearing pink action. Yeah, that's why I don't really see it as being all that profitable.
That's right. A pink jumpsuit might not be good.
Yes. If you're wearing the pink Elvis jumpsuit, that's a bad deal. All right then, Albert, man, that was an awesome question in the true sense of the word. Getting back to our 80s lingo there. I have something that I'm thinking you're probably going to need. I have something called the Engineer's Guide to Being Cooler Than the Sales Guy. And I'm going to send that to you because if you're a guy who's cool enough to wear pink, then this is just going to enhance things for you all the more. And guys, if you're interested in looking into that audio program, it's brand new. I did a lot of research on it. I'm a fellow traveler with you on that journey. I don't think I have it all figured out, but if you want to go check that out, that's www.beingcooler.com. And let's dig right in, man, Zan. Now, okay. You're known as the guy who has pretty much the way of the natural sewn up. Refresh us on what that means.
Well, you know, the thing I've been interested in from the very first of all of this is I've never been really interested in, you know, techniques and how to approach girls. What's right. always interested me is guys who have charisma, who stand on the earth, and women are attracted to them.
Yes.
And it has very little to do with looks. It has everything to do with a sense of who we are in your presence. And so that's the kind of thing that I've been trying to study and explore for years and describe. Because there's a natural way, the way I say it is that we move with ease among women. And we all know men like that. That women allow them liberties they would never allow another man. And so that's the thing that's been interesting to me and the kinds of things that I have been trying to describe to men all these years. So that's a natural way of being in the world.
Yeah, you know, it strikes me that a lot of guys are trying way too hard to get women. You mentioned the techniques and all the things that we talk about a lot around here, at least talk about avoiding, right?
Yeah.
It seems to me that some of these same guys were trying so hard to get women don't really even like women much. They're just kind of seeing them as a means to an end to resolve their horniness. But man, you know, the whole concept of hanging around with a bunch of chicks and dealing with femininity just isn't something that's particularly salient to them. But Zan, you know what? I've read some of what you talk about, and I think that you and I are of the same accord that, you know, the first step here is actually enjoy the company of women.
That's exactly correct. There's the failing of a lot of the instruction that's out there today is that, and what a lot of guys are trying to do, is they look at women as a kind of a pop machine that you got to push the buttons till the pop comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're not curious about her. And in other words, what is missing from a large part of the interaction, certainly with the seduction community, is empathy.
Sure.
And being curious about her on a level of, you know, she's a person.
Exactly.
And that's the kind of thing that, you know, and women see through it immediately. They know when you're on the make and when you're trying to, you know, trying to obtain something from her as opposed to share something with her. They can tell.
Yeah. And, you know, the irony behind that is, we are really all human beings, and my firm belief on this, and I'm sure you share it, but I want you to elaborate on this, is really, you know, we talk about men being from Mars and women being from Venus, and we're so different, and women are just trying to shoot us down, and women hate men, and, you know, cats and dogs, and all this crazy stuff. But, you know, as human beings, you cut us, and we bleed red.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right.
Emotions are more the same for people, and how we're wired together is more the same for men and women than it's different, but we tend to focus on the differences. In other words, if something exciting happens, I think a man and a woman will both be excited about it. If we experience a loss, I think we'll both be sad and grieve over it. I don't think we're all that much different. I think where the differences happen is based on gender roles and based on evolutionary roles tied to, really, frankly and flatly, tied to procreation.
Where we go astray in this day and age, in society today, is that we all start out with great intentions and great openness, but we find out very quickly, both men and women find out very quickly, that everybody's playing games. Mm. And so we have to step up and play games as well. Otherwise, the women get hurt and the guys get rejected. And so we've learned to put all these layers, and it's a symptom of our day and age that nobody is really authentic in being open and speaking their truth and who they are. And so, you know, I mean, that's what's happening today.
Yeah, you know, it just isn't the same nowadays as it was 50, 75 years ago.
That's correct.
And, you know, you've done a lot of traveling worldwide, correct?
Yes.
We've talked about it certainly in the Virtuosity series, the whole concept of when you go to different parts of the world, things are very different there than they are here. You know, you go to South America, you go to parts of Asia, you find that women enjoy being women and they enjoy pleasing men and being a cheerleader for men, knowing that men love to get approval from women. Here in the United States, you have a bunch of guys seeking approval, giving away their power to women. And ultimately, it doesn't work. It backfires. And you have a bunch of women. You talk about the guy treating the woman like she's a soda machine, just hit a bunch of buttons and something comes out. I think there's a Your Mother joke in there somewhere. But anyway, women are no different. You know, men are accused by women of just wanting one thing, having a one-track mind, et cetera, being too focused on looks, which, of course, is hardwired evolutionarily. But women are accused also by men of being gold diggers. They're just wanting the money. And it's because they're hardwired to want a guy who can provide for them. So how come it's so difficult for a guy to say to a woman, hey, look, when you say you've had a bad day, or when I ask you what's wrong and you say nothing, what you're really fishing for is me to take the lead and realize you need to be comforted, made to feel safe, and you want me to care about you without having to have you take my hand and force feed me what it is you want out of me. How come we don't understand that? Women need a provider. They need a guy to make them feel safe. Meanwhile, these women, every single indicator points that women love sex as much, if not more, than men, yet because of some social stigma that'll paint them as a slut if they enjoy it, and men being so focused on getting it because they see them as the prize, that's all been skewed in the opposite direction, too. We went horribly wrong here. How are we going to right this ship, Zan?
Well,
what's it going to take?
You know, it's what we're lacking is curiosity. And and so we get into our modes where we have conflict and we have mistrust and we have you know, he said, she said type of thing, because we're not being curious. And I tell you, what it's going to take to right this ship is a new type of dialogue. That's my sense. That's what I get. Like you said, I've traveled all over the world, and we do have cultural differences for sure. But I've talked to women in every city I've gone to for years, and I've talked to men in every city I've gone to. The general sense is that we've hit a ceiling when it comes to the level of interaction that we're doing, and it's all games. Mm. And it's all manipulation by the women and the men. The women are not off the hook here. And, you know, we have a hookup culture today. And, you know, it's the concept of, you know, I was reading an article that we live longer lives now. Our life expectancy is a lot more. And so our childhoods are extended. And so, you know, we're staying children into our late 20s.
Yeah, no,
and we don't have that rite of passage into being men anymore. And so there is going to be a new type of dialogue on the earth because it's needed. And I think it's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon.
Now, you're talking about the need to be curious.
Yeah.
What is it exactly that we need to be more curious about? Flesh that out for me.
You know, guys say to me all the time, I always run out of things to say when I go and approach a girl. You know what? The number one thing that you can be is curious. It's my notion that intelligence is curiosity and nothing else. So if you're curious about her and she gets the sense that you are curious, as opposed to bombarding her with your stuff, your stories, your ideas, and it isn't an interview to her, but you're curious about her as a person, they will open up to you.
And you know, that's nothing new to this show. We've had several guests come up here and say, hey, look, you know what, guys, stop just doing the data dump on these women about how cool you are just so they can roll their eyes and walk away.
Yeah.
Start learning about them and thereby become this great conversationalist in their eyes. And you know what? It comes back down to giving women what they want so that we get what we want instead of putting the cart before the horse.
That's correct.
We can get a satisfying life with women in it if we're willing to acknowledge that women have needs of their own, and that need is to be acknowledged, appreciated. You know, we've talked about the whole concept of being proud of women, giving them approval. And as soon as a woman feels safe in the concept that she's being approved of by you, man, they just turn around and start showering approval on you.
It's true. And, you know,
it's all leadership.
Exactly right. And, you know, the concept is one of celebrating women. And there's a fine line between celebrating her and putting her on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And kneeling at her feet and letting down your own purpose and your own masculinity. There's a fine line. But I tell you, it is the true nature of attraction to be able to make women feel alive and beautiful and passionate in your presence without expecting anything in return from them. That's the key.
And ironically, that's when you get everything in return from
them. That's correct. Phone numbers are everywhere. Women are everywhere.
Not just a sex act, but passionate sexuality.
That's right. That woman will be thinking about you the next day.
Yes.
And in a daze.
Absolutely. And you know, you and I did this epic presentation for Virtuosity. And guys, if you're not in on Virtuosity yet, just get in on Virtuosity just to hear Zan talk about how to make a woman think about you constantly. Because I think you were telling me that there were very high-profile guys you hang out with in the PUA community who said, Zan, if you ever held a seminar on that, they'd be in the front row.
You know, that's exactly...
Did you not tell me that?
I did. I mean,
without mentioning any names?
Without mentioning names, I was told that by some very prominent people that, you know, essentially what they said is, you know, we can go pick up girls. We have no problem walking into a venue and being the life of the party and getting phone numbers and getting girls. But boy, if you ever do a seminar on the notion of chemistry and how to amplify attraction and how to get that woman to think about you when you're not around, we're in the front row. That's what they told me.
Yeah.
And that's what I do seminars on.
Yeah, and you know, we did that program.
Yes.
You and I got on Virtuosity and we hashed it out for over an hour, and the feedback on that program has just been mind-bending.
Oh. Yeah.
And there is stuff that comes out in there that really changes guys' lives. I mean, that's such a cliche thing to say, but you know, when your life was this way one day and you hear something and it's another way from there on out, that means, well, essentially your life's been changed. And that's what I've been hearing. And guys, we go around with one-itis, right? We get obsessed with these women. Have you ever had a woman be obsessed with you? Have you ever experienced, I'm asking these guys out there, you know, saying, I know you're covered, buddy. I know you've got this out the wazoo, proverbially. Those of you who are listening, have you ever had a woman just not be able to get enough of you? She's chasing you. She's obsessed with you. She just is absolutely enthralled with you. Let me tell you, it's time to put the shoe on the other foot. And when you start giving women what they want, you start appreciating them, you are separating yourself from 99% of the other guys out there. And this is when you're going to start seeing miraculous things happen in your life.
Yeah, that's an excellent point because, you know, people ask me, you know, how I got my start years ago and stuff like that. And one of the fundamental questions that I asked myself years ago is, I know that women are fantasizing about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it not me?
It has to be somebody.
It has to be somebody, and it's a profound question when you think of it, and it can be you. That's the beauty of it. You can create that. You can create that kind of connection with a woman that she's thinking about you, and she can't help it.
If you want a woman to fantasize about you, you've got to, you know, I'm counting them off on my fingers. One, figure out what women fantasize about, right? It means you got to go understand what's running around in their heads. You can read a romance novel and you can figure that out, right? Second of all, you've got to become the kind of guy who is capable of fulfilling that for her. Then three, you got to go do it. I mean, it seems to me so fundamental. But see, guys have this stumbling block, and the stumbling block is, how do I meet a woman's fantasies without somehow being feminized in the process? And it's because we've been given this horrible stinking thinking that, okay, look, being macho equals driving a car, being involved with Ultimate Fighting and stuff like this and having a great job and all the symbols of masculinity.
And not wearing a pink shirt.
Not wearing a pink shirt.
Exactly. That's a symbol.
Absolutely, right? But see, women expect leadership from men in terms of having their femininity ignited. See, the whole concept of romance to men in this culture is foo-foo, sissy stuff. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we're taught, hey, go spend thousands of dollars on diamonds for Valentine's Day, even though you just did that 2 months ago for Christmas, too, thanks to our other commercial. Then you need to show up with candy, flowers, and all these things that have to be bought. And then you need to fake your way through it. Guys, romance is something where you hang out with a woman. Okay, women can't be romantic together, and men can't be romantic with their buddies. At least we hope not. This is a heterocentrist show, so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But anyway, a man and a woman together ignite each other. It's a romantic event when that happens. It's very rarely bought, very rarely planned, and very rarely will ever happen ever again. It's just something uniquely shared between you and her that creates chemistry. That's what being romantic is all about. Can you step up to the plate and do it, man? Can you do it? That's what I'm asking everybody who's listening to this show. Can you understand what's going on in a woman's head, what she wants in terms of something special? Remember, her emotions are just like yours. What turns her on, turns you on. The approval, being cared about, feeling like you're partners are going to run away and run off with someone else. Someone who is there in the moment with you, helping you ease the pain of life together, right?
Yes.
Can you pull this? Can you empathize with this woman? Great, great terms, Ann. And, you know, I want your ideas on all this. How can a guy who's never thought this way before get started? What can he do the next time he has a woman in front of him?
You know, that's a very good question. Guys ask me all the time, how do I get empathy for a woman when all I'm considering is, you know, how to get her in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts by, you know, I've always said this, you can never be a lover of women if you don't love yourself. And that's where ultimately it comes down to, is knowing who you are so that you have passion in your life. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, women are attracted to you in massive amounts. And everywhere you go, women are attracted to you. Because you're moving towards what has heart and meaning to you. So celebrating her without putting her on a pedestal is, you know, it's a fine line.
Yeah.
And you have to basically be curious about her.
I don't know.
She'll recognize it.
I would think the difference between the pedestal and the celebration would be based on you perceiving yourself to be the prize for her as much as she's a prize for you. You all are deserving each other, so you might as well enjoy each other's company. Versus an insecurity, you know, and that's probably the defining term here.
Yeah.
If a man is secure enough to think, oh my gosh, this woman's out of my league, I'm going to have to beg, borrow, steal, connive, and drivel to keep her around, then you've put her on a pedestal and she's going to get bored because she's human just like you. Guys, when you have a woman who's marginal in the looks department, or even when she starts out being someone you're attracted to, for that matter, and she just absolutely hangs on you, she's desperate, she seems like she has nothing better to do, isn't it amazing how your attraction level for her drops?
Yeah.
Women are just no different. You need to experience that for yourself to see it sometimes, though.
Yeah, you know, and it's like the difference is there are certain guys that can walk up to a woman and say, you look amazing in that dress, and I just had to say that. And where anybody else says that, it would come across as needy. And it would come across as, I'm hoping you will like me because I gave you a compliment.
Yes, or I'm trying to get something out of you by manipulating you.
That's correct.
In the absence of that, if you were just in the interest of brightening her day and you have no hidden agenda or you have no insecurity behind it, then you're going to have that woman go, okay, now I have a man in front of me.
That's correct.
It's crunch time. From there, it's just, where do you lead her? It all comes back down to this. You have a woman. That woman has needs. You have needs. Are you in a position to say, hey, look, I have swept away all the obstacles. I'm not leading her into feeling as insecure as I feel right now. But in fact, I believe I have a chance with this woman because I've seen it elsewhere. It's proven itself time and time again. Now it's going to be her turn to have her day made better because I am in it.
That's correct. Exactly right.
Such a mind shift for so many guys.
Yeah, but it's attainable, and it is something that we have to move towards if we want to have true attraction and want to be compelling.
Yeah, I mean, if you just are in it for the sex, you know, you're going to be one of those guys who's a chorus of fellows out there saying, yeah, women are all dead lays. Everything you've ever seen in porno movies, it's a myth. Women just lay there, spread their legs, and do nothing. Well, it's because you're not giving them anything to be passionate about. And if you're going to use a woman for sex, don't be a lick surprised when they use you for your money.
That's right.
And you will lose in a court of law in a few years when the divorce happens. Yeah. We've talked about that around here before, too.
And that's bad.
That's real bad. I mean, just avoid it. I mean, become a man who leads and become a man who has his character enough in order that it's not a stumbling block when you get in front of a woman. If you're so self-absorbed, guys, with what could possibly go wrong and how you're looking and what you're trying to convey and whether she's going to like you or not, there's no room left in your mindset to take care of her needs. Mm-hmm. It's been shut out. You are shutting out this woman because you're inside your own head so much. I mean, the funniest stand-up comedians, the people who are just so naturally cool, are the people who have long since stopped worrying about how they look. And they know it'll be all right. They know they don't have to be so self-absorbed. They stop taking themselves so darn seriously. I mean, a group of guys who is really effective with women, when one of them just gets royally rejected by a chick, it will be a big laugh between everybody in the group. It'll be a source of merriment. Why? Because it's not something that's absolutely having cataclysmic meaning and completely detrimental to a guy's self-esteem such that he'll never be able to walk on his own two feet again.
Right.
No, no, no. Everything is so darn serious in this culture. I mean, Will Hicks and I know you know Will. Yeah. We were talking about how guys go to work from 9 to 5, come home on a Friday night, and they basically punch out 1 o'clock and punch in on the next and go sarging till 2 o'clock in the morning. And they leave the bar and go, man, that was really hard work. That was more brutal than my day job. Guys, if this is a job for you, you've got to get out of your own head. Take it less seriously. Start enjoying women. It's the name of the game, isn't it, Zan?
Absolutely. It really is.
So just to wrap this thing up, what else would you tell guys who are saying to themselves, man, you just can't understand women? They're completely an enigma, and there's just no hope here. What would you tell them?
You know, they are an enigma, but boy, I tell you, if you, like, curiosity is my mantra these days, and if you're very curious without looking for an outcome, and there's the big difference, you're curious about her and about anything about her, it demonstrates to women that you're a guy who listens to women. And she'll go home and she'll tell her friends, I met a guy who's just a great listener, which is one of the number one things women say they wish they had in men. And it's because you're just being curious and saying, I want to know.
And guys, say you've never heard that before, right?
Yeah, and if I go on a date with a girl, for instance, the first thing I do when I sit down across from her is like, wow, I'm curious. You came out on a date with me and I want to know why. I'm very curious.
Outstanding.
Exactly what I do.
Outstanding. And, you know, you touched upon her talking about you to her friends. Emily and I were just talking about how when a woman likes a guy, she'll talk to her friends about him, and it will flavor the friend's view of the guy. Mm-hmm. When I first met Emily's friends, they were like, yeah, okay, hi, yeah, you're, you know, this guy she knows. 2 weeks later, when we had a party and everybody showed up, those women all behaved completely differently towards me. Mm-hmm. All because of what Emily had expressed. And it's a good feeling. And guys, you know, if you're just focused on sex, what we're talking about here, Zan, you know, back me up, man.
Yeah.
You're not resigning having good sex by caring about women. You are building a depth into your life where you are going to see femininity in a whole new light, because you're going to see women do things for you, like rub your back, hug you, take care of you, be your cheerleader, that you've never dreamed possible. You thought this was the substance of, like, fairy tales. It's the real deal. And the sex is better, on top of all else. There's no lose here. What we're talking about is a win-win all around.
Well, when you have that notion that you're natural and that you relax into your true self, and you'd be authentic and open, which gives her permission to be authentic and open as well, there is no shortage of women in your life. There are women that will call you, will offer you phone numbers. It's a very real thing, because it's the only thing that's attractive to women is when you are standing on the earth and saying, I'm a man, and here's who I am. I won't apologize for that.
Yeah, and when you are one of the few guys who get it, strangely, you don't have any competition.
That's right. And then there's no such thing as going out and trying to harvest phone numbers.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do anything like that because women are in your life. They accumulate to you, and you can't even explain it.
Guys, if you doubt any of this, all I have to say is try it. You'll like it. It works.
Yeah.
Zan, you're a good man. I've set up a special URL for Zan, guys, and that is www.thechickwhisperer.com/Zan, Z-A-N. And go check that out. We have several other things at play here also. There's that special bonus episode, right, with our other good friend, Brent Smith, on there. That is not on the feed, and it is available only to newsletter subscribers. To get in on that, as you heard at the outset of this show, what you need to do is you need to go to www.thechickwhisperer.com and get in on that, and you will be forwarded to a place where you will be able to download that immediately and get a 35% off coupon for Virtuosity. And like we said, Zan's one of over... Well, we've got over 36 guests now in Virtuosity, and I'm planning 6 more in the next couple of weeks, including some additions to that online dating domination program. If you want to send us a voicemail, like Albert did, you need to call the following number, +1 if you're outside the United States, 210-362-4400. That's 210-362-4400. Leave that voicemail 24/7, 365 and a third. No one is ever going to answer that phone. It's dedicated to voicemail. When you voicemail us, you got to remember the 3 things that are most important. First of all, you've got to be concise. Second of all, you got to tell us your email address and who you are. You know, give us the contact information. Third, you've got to have a question that's interesting and relevant to our entire audience. You put those 3 together, and you're going to get a voicemail that's going to be read on the air, and we will be sending you some cool prizes in return. Until episode number 17, my name is Scott McKay, and Zan, thanks again for being with us here today, my man.
Thank you, Scott. It's been a pleasure.
And I'll be talking at you again soon. Be good, guys.
The Chick Whisperer Podcast is copyright 2007 by X&Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X&Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.